Growing the Game with Ballsy. He's brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigreed durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at RivieraAgSeeds.ca. This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, a podcast dedicated to growing the sport of football in Saskatchewan. Now, here's Ballsy.
Well, thanks for joining me for another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. We're going to start this podcast by going back to day one of CFL free agency, as former Rider GM Brendan Tammann joined me and Paul Waldo on the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM to talk about a wild day one. You're on with Ballsy and your old friend Paul Waldo, BT.
Oh, geez, how much did he charge you for appearance fee?
I knew you were on air, so I figured, hey, I'll do this one for free.
Half of what you're charging me, but he's the best-dressed guy in the room, BT, as you know.
Oh, right? I bet.
Okay.
Not a lot of us in here.
So, Brendan, let me ask you this. Do you think this fan base is going to buy Zach Collaros back as a quarterback of this football team?
Well, yeah, they'll buy him back if they win.
Right.
It's hard to gauge that, but, you know, as a GM, you can't put that into the equation. You got to do what you think is best. It's going to put the winning team on the field, but you start winning games early. Yeah, they'll buy him back, but if they go 0-3, then no, they won't.
Right.
Okay, but it is a risky proposition, being that his head is, you don't know where his head's at. And I mean, I'm not talking in terms of what he's thinking. I'm talking about his head, because he has an issue of concussions and that type of stuff. So it's kind of a buyer beware there. Before we get into some of the moves today, just take us behind the GM's door. Do you guys, when you go into a day like this, like, how far out do you start planning? And do you build a board like you do for the draft?
No, I would describe it to you as it's semi like a controlled chaos. And what I mean by that is you can have your boards and your plans and your maps and your schematics and everything. With one phone call, the world changes totally. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, let's say, and I believe this is true, they were in on Bo Levi Mitchell for a lot of money, obviously.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When that bag of money is there to be taken, you don't know how you're going to spend that money till you know some things, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So up until Bo Levi says no to you, you have to keep that bag of money sitting on that table. And I'll bet you a lot of money, Paul's appearance fee today, for example.
I gave him that up front, by the way.
Good man. I like
okay,
it up front.
Good.
Yeah.
So Mika Johnson, I bet you $100, signed after Bo Levi had said no to the Saskatchewan Roughriders, because they couldn't have enough money to afford them both, obviously.
Right.
So those are the games you have to play as it goes on during the day. And it is quite, I wouldn't say stressful, but you have to be really on your toes and reacting very, very quick.
Just talk about the nuances of building the team. Like you said, you got to hold that money. Bo doesn't take your money. He goes back to Calgary. So you got a lot of money involved in this. You're the GM right now of the Rough Riders, okay? You've got Jonathan Jennings. You got Zach Collaros. You got Brandon Bridge. You got Travis Lule. We don't know what Ricky Ray's future holds. I know he's still under contract, but does Toronto want to bring him back? Is he coming back? We don't know. Franklin's in the mix there. You got Pipkin and Manziel out there that might be in the offing for a trade. And Kevin Glenn, I think he's still under contract.
I think he is as well,
and if he's under contract, you might have to pull the deal off there. You've got those quarterbacks. Right now, you're sitting in that GM chair. You want to win a championship? Who are you signing? Who are you signing? What guy are you going to push for out of those names right there, knowing their injury history, their age, everything?
Well, if that's the scenario you're presenting to me, I would answer it this way. I would never get into that scenario, quite frankly.
Mm.
You can't go down that route. You have to keep your quarterbacks under contract, if you can, if you deem them valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that, to answer your question, I'd probably roll the dice of Collaros, Jennings, Glenn, the combination of two of those three at the same time, and see what you can make out of that group.
Huh. Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting.
Well, I'm always big on proven. You know,
right.
You've done it. You've been there, done that. Kevin was very productive, producing very good numbers there 2 years ago. You'd probably hedge a bet a little bit on Jennings. Can he do it? And Caleros, if he can go back to what he was, was pretty good too. So the other guys, either they've proven that they can't or they're done.
I like the scenario of honestly, as it sits right here with that there, because we don't know what Franklin is and all he's cracked up to be, in my opinion. Ricky Ray is long in the tooth. Travis Lule, we heard earlier. He's not coming to Saskatchewan. He's got a family right across the border. And let's be honest, he's Zach Caleros with maybe with a better resume, but they got the same injury history right now. Like, honestly, have a Kevin Glenn here to back him up and have that guy there to help him along.
Well, I think, and Paul, you know this better than anybody, being in a locker room, you have to have your locker room believing in the quarterback you have, or the quarterback. Two guys are a little bit weird at times, but if you don't have one, you're sunk. I don't care who you are or what you are. And I strongly believe they made a big pitch for Bo Levi Mitchell, and it wasn't just a game they were playing. They were hard after him. And I heard it got pretty close. And good on them for doing that, because that shows me that they're all in to win.
Hey, Brendan Tamman joining us here, and we enjoy his company here. One of the great experts in this league. And like I always say, he spits it straight. So what you make if we can be kind of on edge here in Saskatchewan. Lots of people already throwing Jeremy under the bus. Like, let's walk off the ledge.
I know that feeling. Don't worry.
Do you?
Yeah, you've been there.
Do you? Yeah. Okay. So, but what are they doing in Ottawa? They got picked clean. If I'm a Red Blacks fan, I'm going, what are you guys doing?
BTK, yeah. Can you really explain that? Because, I mean, you free up Travis with a $500,000 salary. Sir Vincent Rogers, who's probably at about $200,000. William Powell, maybe in the 150s. Ellingson, I said, which I think believe was reported at $250,000. I mean, that's $1 million there to do what? What are you doing with that? Help me out here.
I've never really seen anything like that before, to be honest with you guys. Right. Usually when you lose guys, you counter with some signings.
Right.
I've never seen a team get decimated by that before. And on top of that, I don't know what the plan is going forward, because there's only so much you can do.
Right.
But
yeah, it's crazy.
The guy I feel sorry for the most of anybody in this day of today is Jamie Elizondo.
Right.
Ottawa's OC, who gets refused to negotiate for head coach. And by the way, we're checking all your offense away from you today.
Everybody.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's crazy.
Have a good day.
Yeah, exactly. Have a good day. Okay, let's talk about the two teams out west that are in an arms race, it seems.
Yep.
The BC Lions were in on everybody. LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Dak Prescott, Andrew Luck, everybody. But they settled for Mike Riley. It looks like Deron's going to end up there. What do you make about what the Lions did? It looks like they're trying to sell some tickets there in BC. Normally, I say that's a lot of cash for a quarterback. But when you're trying to get fannies in the seats, it's a good move, I think.
Yeah, I think they've re-energized that franchise pretty good today, I think, with some signings that they did. I think they're, you know, Ed Hervey's been pretty successful at stuff that he's done throughout his career, and he's been very aggressive today. And, you know, when you add Mike Riley to your mix, that changes your team right then. And then add on those other guys you mentioned, and Suk Chung and all those guys, they're going to be fine. They're going to be good.
Yeah, for sure.
Aaron Grimes is over there. I think I really feel like
Aaron Grimes went there. Yeah,
yeah. I think they really did almost get the top two, top three players at each position in some of those signings. And I think Edmonton did the same thing with.
Look at Edmonton. Man. They get Trevor Harris. They get Greg Ellingson. They get Sir Vincent Rogers. They got Don Unamba, who's a great Sam linebacker.
He's incredible right now. Probably the best. Larry Dean.
Larry Dean, which is a great replacement for J.C. Sherritt. They got Orange, the D-back out of B.C. They got Santos Knox out of Winnipeg.
All-stars. They're all all-stars.
Tavares Daniels, the receiver.
I forgot about
him. I mean, they've loaded up there. They've really... So Edmonton fans, Brendan, will be choked for about all of a minute.
Yeah.
And then they got...
20 seconds.
Although, I want to get your opinion on Trevor Harris. I'm not as high as other people are on Trevor Harris.
He's an interesting guy. To me, he's either really hot or he's really cold, and there's no in-between with him. And he has been somewhat inconsistent, but in saying that, I think he helped Ottawa get to some wins, where right now, and they're looking at their cupboard going, what are we going to do now without him?
Mm-hmm.
So I know what you're saying, Ballsy, in that he's somewhat questionable, but he's still pretty darn good relative to the rest of the field.
All right, and before we let you go here, what do you make of, I mean, William Powell, I think, is a great signing because the Riders don't have to try to tackle him this year because he torched us. I think Deshaun Davis, nice addition, good role player. But what do you make of Micah Johnson coming here and Willie Jefferson leaving? Do the Riders, now I'm saying this, don't, you know, it sounds stupid, are the Riders losing much in that swap?
Well, I think Micah Johnson's a real special player, so losing Jefferson's hard, but countering that with Micah Johnson makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
And I think that's going to be fine for them. It's a different position, but Paul, you know this. Micah Johnson is an impactful player at defensive tackle, which do not come along very often. So
you just don't,
I think that's a great signing, to be honest with
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
All right.
You know, everybody's focus is on offense, but, you know, their defense is going to be good again. So, you know, give them a few days, too. There's still got to be some things to work out, and they'll be all right.
Yeah. Free agency doesn't end in day one, right?
No.
You can find some.
Sometimes is a virtue.
Are we a little bit arrogant here in Saskatchewan? We live in a bubble. We eat, breathe, sleep football. It's February, and we're just talking Riders football galore here, as you know. But are we a little too close to it? By that, I mean, do we overvalue how great it is to be here? Is it hard to get people to come here and play?
Maybe, you know, back a while ago, you know, in the early 90s or late 90s, I guess it was pretty tough just because of the organization wasn't highly thought of now, but that's totally changed. You know, when they won in 07 over there, that I think that was a huge turning point for the whole franchise. And now you got the stadium and whatnot. And, you know, Paul being an ex-player there, he knows that the way you do things and how you treat people top down in your organization will go a long ways. And I think they do things pretty well there. I'm pretty sure they continue to do that. And I think, Jeremy and Craig are your two big focal points on football ops, and I think they're two respected people in the league. So they're fine. It's not an easy gig to attract and draw people in free agency unless you're going to throw a lot of money at them. Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, and people have talked about this, is players aren't dumb. They're going to look at your team and go, okay, who am I playing with? Who's the OC? Who's the head? You know, all that stuff.
Right.
Well, so much goes into play, you never know. And I think Saskatchewan is fine from that point of view, but it's not an easy thing. It's very competitive.
Fans are speaking out, saying, well, we're not getting any of the quarterbacks because nobody wants to work with the offensive coordinator, Stephen McAdoo. So you get unfair criticism. I mean, 2 years ago, we had 3 1,000-yard receivers. It seemed last year, Chris Jones, his mentality was, we're going to do short passing, run the ball, and play defense and opportunistic offense, and took away his best weapon in Daron Carter on offense. I mean, I think he gets an unfair rap.
I don't disagree, Ballsy, without knowing a lot of the specifics of him personally or individually or what he does. But, and this is where you got to be careful, but I did value this quite a bit, and Paul knows this, is that you have to listen to some of your players sometimes. Mm-hmm. And when we had guys like Dressler and Getzlaff and Bag and those kind of guys playing for us, and Durant, when those guys would, if I ever would ask them a question, you know, guy like Paul even, or guys on defense, that meant a lot to me because they weren't using this as an agenda to go with their best friend to play for you. They want to win.
Right.
So when you get their input on what's going on with your team, they're going to tell you the straight up scoop. There's no hidden agenda to this. So what I mean by all this is that I would presume that the rapport that McAdoo or whoever is there has amongst the league is quite well known to the people that run that organization as it is. So I would presume there's no hinder to having people come there because of that, because they know that already. Yeah.
Should we look at capping the quarterback salary? I mean, I asked Paul this off the air, and I can get Paul's opinion a little later on the other side of the break. I want your opinion. There's got to be jealousy in that locker room. I mean, I know in the NFL, quarterbacks get paid the most by a lot. I get it. But if Peyton Manning's or Tom Brady's making, or he's a bad example because he takes a pay cut.
He does, yeah.
But let's pick a quarterback. Cam Newton makes $25 million, and his wide receiver, Benjamin, makes $2 million or $3 million. Benjamin's still making $3 million bucks. Mike Riley's making $700,000 in BC, and Brian Burnham's making $100,000 or $150,000, or there's a young receiver making $58,000, or there's a lineman coming up as left tackle making $62,000. There's got to be some. Should it be that much of a discrepancy is where I'm going with this?
There should be if you win.
Points.
If you don't win, there shouldn't be, if that makes sense. Yeah. Meaning, if you're going to spend that money into an all-star quarterback, you better win. And if you're not going to invest that kind of money and you have the discrepancy in your teammates, you know, you better make sure you're going to win a lot of games. Because when that jealousy comes into play, they can offset it by going, well, he helps us win.
Right.
But if you're paying that and you're losing a lot of games and he's not a very good quarterback, you got a lot of problems.
Yeah, I don't know. I
know what you're saying. 700 seems like a lot to pay a quarterback nowadays, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but it's what the market and what the cap entitles you to pay. And if the cap, if you want to spend five guys and spend 70% of your cap on that, that's your prerogative. I don't know if that's the smartest way.
Yeah.
And I think what you're saying is percentage of the cap compared to a quarterback, yeah, you might be right.
But, where are they going to play, Brendan? Where are they going to play?
I know what you're saying. All they are is competing against themselves, I think.
Yeah, like you're not getting that money in the AAF. You're not getting that in the XFL. Anyway. If you were good enough, no disrespect, you'd be in the NFL. Yep. So why are we paying these guys that much money? Then teams get in trouble. We get 15,000 fans here. We get 8,000 fans in BC, and we're giving the guys $700,000. To me, it's out of whack. Well, and the other thing is, doing this. What is absolutely mind-boggling to me is we are signing all these guys, and we don't even have a CBA.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I think Brock and Edmonton's banking on it going up more than we think.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you're right, Baldy. It's very difficult being a GM without knowing what your cap is, trying to go make your team better this day. But, it's been done before, and I'm sure it'll happen again.
All right, Brendan, we appreciate you coming on. We really enjoyed the talk, and like I said, I'll get you something soon.
No, I was just kidding. You can give my portion of the pizza to Paul, and you can go.
Really? Well, you know what? I could easily be a GM. This was a heck of a negotiation.
Because you got good people. Look at that. Negotiating with good people.
That's good. I feel like Harold Ballard. Hey, thanks for joining us, Brendan. I appreciate it.
Always no problem.
Pleasure. CBT.
We'll have more with Paul Waldo on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigreed durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at rivièreagseeds.ca.
Well, not that long ago, I had a chance to catch up with the director of football, Saskatchewan, Mike Thomas, and we talked flag football, and we talked the U18 and the health of football, the amateur level in this province. Let's rewind to the Grey Cup. You guys have a CFL flag football team compete in the national championship, and you guys had another squad go. Tell us about that team.
Yeah, it was quite the opportunity that the CFL was able to continue with the initiative that they had last year. And this year, with some changes, the age group moved down. And I was actually fortunate enough for a team that myself and fellow Saskatchewan Rough Rider alumni Matt Dominguez was able to put together. And we ended up winning the tournament here hosted in Regina and going down the Grey Cup. And it was a great experience with the team that we were able to take, as we were able to head down and take in the festivities down during the Grey Cup Festival. And we did a parents versus kids game down on the turf. And, and the parents had an absolute blast. The kids had a great tournament. Things didn't go quite our way. We had some, we had some success, but then we obviously had some hardships, as all those teams that were there all won their tournaments in their local cities. And so it was great competition all around, which is what you want. And our kids played to the best of their abilities and left everything on the field. But unfortunately, we weren't able to medal in the event. But, the team that did end up winning the whole thing in Edmonton went down to the Pro Bowl and actually ended up winning that event down there. So it's pretty neat, considering that in the tournament we were the game that gave them the most fits, as they ended up winning on the last second touchdown with under a minute left. So, when you look at that and say, the team that ended up winning the whole thing and going down to Orlando and winning, we were there right with them, that was definitely even more so encouraging for the kids.
You get a lot of these guys. They're also in the RMF, but in the Flag Football League, the former Riders, Mike McCullough, you got Matt Dominguez, you got Jason Claremont, you got Neil Hughes, yourself. I mean, it's pretty good to see some of these guys giving back to the community.
Yeah, absolutely it is, and other guys to put on that list as well as, Gino Mikowski, minister himself, and Scott Schultz, and just the list just keeps going on and on and on. Belton Johnson, and when when Marcus Adams was here, he was as well coaching too. So, you know, the great thing is that a lot of the former riders' kids are now in the community, obviously growing up, and they're giving back, which is so rewarding for the kids and for the parents too.
Okay, so a U18 team went international and played the United States, I believe, in the gold medal game. Came up short, but a good group of young athletes who are going to that next level, showing their talents south of the border.
Yeah, you know, it was really nice to see our players that were part of the national championship team this past July in Calgary at the Football Canada Cup get an opportunity to represent the country at the International Bowl in Dallas, where we had 9 players end up making the team. Originally, it was only supposed to be 7, but then we had some injury replacements, and when our guys were the next one in, that was pretty rewarding in itself. Again, in that game, you know, they had the Canadians had beaten the Americans a few years in a row, and unfortunately this year they came out on the short end of the draw. But realistically speaking, you know, when you look at the numbers between the two nations, you say, you know, we shouldn't be in those types of games. But the Canadian game has evolved and is definitely, you know, something that is on par with the Americans. You know, we may not have the television coverage like a Notre Dame or a Auburn or even a Clemson or Alabama. But, you know, when you look at that, the kids that are here playing, the coaching level has gotten better, and it starts, as you mentioned, with the kids that are playing, start playing flag, start playing minor football. And, you know, we're super proud and elated that the players and the 9 players and 2 coaches that we sent were able to go and represent our country down south of the border.
Okay, I got to ask you 2 more quick questions. First off, let's wrap up this whole U18, U16. You're taking coaching submissions, are you not right now, applications?
Yeah, so the great thing about our program is that we always have opportunities arise for people with different things happening in family and life and such. And with our U16 program, we are going to be taking applications for our head coach and coordinator positions that will be coming up here right away. And with our U18 Select program, which is the next 40 that we have that get ready to play on our provincial team, we'll be looking for a defensive line position. So those will be posted on the Football Saskatchewan website.
John Mackey, Jordan Yance, Jaden Marwick, the kid for the Thunder. Is it Quest? Reed Quest?
Reed Quest,
Reed,
yeah.
Reed Quest. You got Noah Pickton. You got Josh Donnelly. You got Mason Nias, now quarterback in the U of S Huskies. They all have this in common. They come from Regina. What is it about Regina and football here that Regina's become a quarterback factory?
Yeah, it certainly has, and you're missing another name off that list, which is Asher Hastings, who ended up going down to McMaster.
And Keegan Cater, too.
And Keegan Cater, you know, just coming up right now. You know, and another one that's just down the road, you can kind of call our neighbors with Sawyer Bittner, who owned his craft here with Thunder and then went down the road as well. You know, the great thing about it, when it all comes down to the coaching that these kids are receiving at the various levels and the opportunities that are being presented to them, you know, when you look at some of the football coaches that have been in the city that these quarterbacks have had a chance to learn from, whether it be Stefan Ensign, whether it be Bernie Schmidt, whether it be any of the other minor football or high school coaches in the city, it's something that these kids, it's something in the water. But really when it comes down to it, it's the passion and it's the love of the sport in our province, that the kids love the game. They play as hard as they can for as much as they can considering our weather. And when the opportunities present themselves, they definitely knock the door down and take the best of what's available to them.
Well, the guy like Mike Thomas at Football Saskatchewan, giving these kids opportunities that this guy here, this guy in his mid-40s, never had. Kids today, they have so many opportunities, including my son. So I just want to say thanks to you and all the volunteers and coaches that have helped out over the years. Enjoy your evening, Mike, okay?
Thank you very much for having me on, Ballsy. Much appreciated. Y'all have a good night.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at realestate.ca. And their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigree, durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at rivierageseeds.ca.
And joining us on the phone now is Amanda Ruler, the speed coach for the University of Regina Rams. I think it's cool. This is a cool little setup here, Amanda. Tell us first off a bit about your background that would put you in a position to lead young men.
Of course. Well, I started out at the University of Regina on the track team where I hold several records in the sprinting division, 60-meter, 100-meter, 200-meter. I moved on. I was recruited from Team Canada bobsled to come compete for bobsled and skeleton. I competed in the States for football as a running back, as well as I played on Team Canada football, competing on the world's team where we won a silver medal. And I continue to compete in Olympic lifting, which is all speed and power. So I'm able to work with a lot of amazing athletes, and I've been coached by so many international and world-renowned athletes and coaches that I feel like it's time for me to spread my knowledge and help people get stronger and faster.
Yeah, you got, no, don't take this the wrong way, but you've got big, powerful legs. They have their own area code. I watch you on social media. You are you are definitely fit. What do you like best about the game of football, Amanda Ruler?
Love watching the plays develop. It's like poetry in motion to me when you see a play develop and people are doing the right things, or maybe someone breaks loose and scores a touchdown. There's nothing more beautiful than that. And the passion that goes into it, you can see it in the athlete's face when they are training and when we're getting ready for a game. I just think it's so beautiful in a whole.
What are you going to bring to the track for the Rams, maybe different than what you think they've seen in the past?
Well, especially my experience in track and field for the last 15 years, I can really help on the technical aspect. I think these are very talented athletes, and I just want to perfect their perform just a little bit more. I'm really good at starts. I'm a very short athlete. If you guys know me, I'm actually 5 foot tall. So for speed, I had to be really, really explosive off the start, and that's the element I can bring to this, is I've been working on starts for so long. I can help them really explode off of that line, because a lot of these athletes have the potential to go to the combine, and I just want to help them get faster so they could potentially make that mark in their division and maybe the CFL one day.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a lot, but there's a lot of work that goes into dropping a 40, say from like 4.6 to 4.4. It doesn't seem like a lot in terms of, you know, 0.2 seconds, but there is a lot of work, a lot of technique that comes into that, doesn't it?
Oh, quite a bit. Like, even we were working on technique for just this last month, and they did a testing round with, like, some laser timing eyes. And we did a little testing a little bit ago here as well, like a couple weeks later. And it's already just perfecting that technique. It's been shaving a few hundredths of a second off. So that's actually huge in a sprinting aspect.
I should word this. How often do you work with these guys on a monthly or weekly basis?
We work every week. We work Mondays and Thursday mornings.
You know, it's quite a thing. You know, people that don't play sports or don't train for sports, it's a full-time job, even like for these student athletes.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah, I remember being in that position myself. If you're not training, you're thinking about training and getting prepared, you're eating the right meals to help your body fuel that performance. To me, it was a full-time committed job to even be on the university track team. So I can imagine these guys trying to be on this team and looking forward to maybe getting to a CFL team. They got to eat right. They got to get their bodies primed for practice and do that speed training, but then the football training. So I think they're doing an amazing job, and I'm proud of all of them.
Do you have a position-specific training regimen for these guys, meaning do you train the quarterbacks different than you do the receivers, than you do the linemen?
Of course, yeah. We break down the group into a couple different positions, and with that, we still do sprints, but I break it down just a little bit different, and I work on some of the different guys getting off the line quicker, or some guys are competing in the combine coming up, so we just work on getting that top-end speed right away and being able to push through that 40.
All right, Amanda, thanks for this. I appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing your results on the gridiron this year for the University of Regina Rams.
Awesome. I'm so excited for them, and thank you for having me today.
That was another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a story idea you'd like Michael Ball to pursue, please email him at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.